Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Golf season start yet?
No. Yeah, I wish. I wanted to go out.
And now we're
not playing for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Golf show's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
One in Chicago, one in Milwaukee.
What is it? It's right in here.
That's awesome. We made it last year. That's really sweet.
Well, that 1 year, I remember going down there, and it was the same weekend as Farrakhan had his convention with the Nation of Islam at the same hotel. Because I was talking with some of those guys.
All my neighbors came out. I'm like, oh,
Shabbat. Beans. They're out of white beans. And it tastes like pumpkin pie.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're delicious. Yeah.
My brother's on this diet. He's eating beans 3 days a week. Or 2 meals a day.
They're supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be a miracle.
Right.
Food.
I think I'm going to buy Derek a set of gloves down there at the golf show. You want some Callaway white hats in there?
Okay.
Let's see what happens. The deals are so good.
I was going to talk to Cork today, but it was getting so late.
That sounds quick.
I'll go to
Cork. We'll call the meeting over. Supervisor Gillespie is excused. I'd like to have everyone in attendance and all the people in governance. And the first item would be the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. That would be the January 12th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Poole. To approve, any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chairman Committee member, I don't have anything that we're not going to be discussing shortly here, so do any committee members have anything to say? Youth and governance. Citizens' comments. I see no citizens here.
Exciting projects, the therapy tubs, three of them to install. Two have been delivered, and they're about 50% installed. One is yet to be delivered, and that's February 9th, so that's where that's at. The other project is at the detention center. It involves the inmate property storage carousel. It was actually delivered on the 28th. Carousel is all built and assembled, and we're waiting for electrical and sprinkler work to be finished up in 2 weeks.
Questions? When will it be finished, you think, Mike?
The carousel? 2 weeks from the 28th, so mid-February.
In this month yet?
Yep.
I'd like to come out and see it. Like, it's done, maybe just pop an email or something. Like, just check it out.
It's pretty neat looking. It's just like a martinizing place.
Oh, really?
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, it's a conveyor type?
It's a conveyor.
Okay. Yeah.
They can still take stuff off of there, can't they?
Well, they don't have access to the room.
Okay.
You mean the inmates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, most of the things we get for compliance are things missing.
Right, and that's the idea behind this, so they can organize it.
Yeah. If there's nothing else, we'll move on to Frank's things on the 60th Street Administration Building and the demolition.
I'll just give a couple quick things. There's not a lot that's changed. 60th Street Tower. We're just going to wait to wrap that up, do the landscaping in the spring. And KCAD restoration, they definitely got some things knocked off the punch list, but there still are some, a handful of winter punch list items that remain. And the spring punch list items, those are obviously still on there, and we'll take care of those hopefully starting in April. That's pretty much it.
update us on those.
Yeah.
Website.
And I'm sorry, I should have mentioned demolition project. The demolition projects for the two buildings downtown and the one by Brookside. We're meeting Thursday this week. We should finalize the specs for those. And then I'm hoping we'll be able to get the bids out by mid-month for the demolition portion of the thing. If I remember right, if all goes as planned, we should have at least, the way the time frame looks right now, is by like June, mid-June, we should have those buildings demolished. That's what we're planning for right now. That's pretty much it on the demo thing. To the Brookside Construction, yeah, just to bring the committee, we had a kickoff meeting January 14th, met with the architects at Brookside as well as all the key staff department heads, and are just starting now to take and start to dive into the space planning by area so that we can get an overall, we can take the concept stuff that they put together and start to identify how the pieces are going to start to fit into the overall space that we got to work with. That's been ongoing. We've been meeting on a weekly basis ever since. So we're getting there. There's been surveying work that's been done out there. There's been some, we're going to be starting some soil borings probably in a little bit now. But we're starting to move anyways.
When is the actual construction then ready to start?
A construction manager, we actually are going to have, we've got the QBS out right now, the RFQ for picking a construction manager. Hope to have a construction manager on board by the end of the month. And then actual construction, basically think of 2015 as the planning year. We're hoping to have spec ready blueprints and everything by the end of the year, by the end of December. So that's kind of this year is to get all the planning done.
Any questions for Brookside?
I have a question
for
demolition. Downtown campus, you're talking about demolition properties down there as well?
Yep, the old UC building and the Zanani building.
Okay, Zanani building's in the corner there down by the train trestle.
Yep.
And what's the other one that's being demolished?
The unemployment building, the only unemployment by KCAP there.
And that's slated for when?
If all goes as planned, we should have both of those buildings down by June, July is when we're having both of those. We do the UC building first and then do Zanani, probably do them actually together. It's kind of one mobilization, only a block or two apart.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else, we'll move on to highways.
We've got three intersections that would like to discuss tonight. I'd like to, I'll give you a little background on the entire issue, and then I'd like to take a look at, and discuss each individual intersection. This issue goes back to last summer when we were reconstructing the intersection of H and C in the Village of Pleasant Prairie. We had to install a detour route around the construction site, and as part of that detour route, we installed temporary four-way stops at three intersections, one at H and Bain Station Road, one at C and Bain Station Road, and one at C and 104th Avenue. Just prior to us completing that project and reopening the road, the Village of Pleasant Prairie asked if we would leave those three temporary four-way stop signs in place while they made a determination as to whether they would like to request them to become permanent. We agreed to do that. Since that time, the village board has completed a public survey of what the local residents' feelings were on the stop signs being in place and whether they should become permanent. And then they also passed a resolution, of which I will address the result or the contents of that resolution as I talk about each intersection. So the installation of multi-way stop signs requires an engineering study be completed by our department. That's both in the federal sign manual and also Wisconsin statutes. So we completed the multi-way engineering study, multi-way stop engineering studies at the three intersections, and going to explain the results of each of those studies to you. The first intersection is at Highway H and Bain Station Road. One of the warrants for a multi-way stop sign is in a case where traffic signals need to be installed or are warranted to be installed, but there's an interim time between the time you determine the signals need to be installed and the time that they're actually installed. We did, just based on our knowledge of the intersection, the first thing we did was the traffic signal warrant analysis, and included in your packet is all of the data and the entire study. In a nutshell, what the warrant is determined by is the volume of vehicles that enter the intersection and how much delay vehicles on each leg of the intersection have because of the volume on the other road. So went through the study, collected all the data, and the intersection of H and Bain Station Road met the warrants for a traffic signal installation. So, as I said, that's one of the warrants for the installation of interim multi-way stop signs. So we didn't go any further with the study because that in itself meets the warrants for the stop sign installation. One of the projects that the village of Pleasant Prairie is doing this, it's actually beginning this spring. Elsewhere in the village, they're reconstructing the intersection of Highway County Trunk Highway EZ and Springbrook Road. That intersection currently has traffic signals, and they're converting it to a roundabout. So the traffic signals that are there now are going to be salvaged, and what we would propose to do is to relocate that equipment over to H and Bain Station Road, and that would occur at some point, probably during the course of this summer. The largest part of any traffic signal installation is the equipment. So it would be a fairly low cost solution to address the traffic congestion at that intersection. In the meantime, we would leave up the multi-way stop signs. The resolution that we received from the Village of Pleasant Prairie Board recommended that the four-way stop signs stay up permanently, and they also put the results of their public survey in the resolution, and that was 73.4% of the respondents felt that the multi-way stop sign should stay in place. So So we have the public support, we've got the village board support, we've got the warrants met for the multi-way stop signs, and my recommendation is that the ordinance be approved for the permanent or semi-permanent installation of the four-way stops until such time that the signal equipment becomes available, and then we will relocate it over to that intersection, and it will stay signalized until some point in the future that it would likely be reconstructed for additional capacity improvement and possibly be reconstructed as a roundabout, but that would be at a minimum 2 to 3 years in the future.
Thank you, Gary. So if everyone understands the background, this was because of a construction project, we put up these three stops, four-way stops. What we're asking tonight is not for anything but for the four-way stops at H and C to, or H and Main Station Road to remain.
Just a question. You said you had responded. It was some 73.4% of the respondents were in favor of the four-way stops.
Correct.
Was that as a group or was it they pulled individually? How did that
work? The Village of Pleasant Prairie has a method online that they use to survey their local residents, and it was individual responses to questions. But it was a specific question. Do you favor the four-way stop staying in place?
As a group of all three entities.
Correct.
Okay. You can only respond once to each question.
Okay. Yeah, it's set up very well, so to be fair.
Yes.
This is good for now, but do you know any, with all the new construction going on around that area, that they're thinking about expansion in the next few years and for at least Highway C? Maybe they could have to a four-lane?
Highway C, no. Highway H, possibility. We've actually, yes, there's been two traffic impact analysis studies completed based on developments or proposed developments in that area. And both of those studies indicate that the intersections are going to need to be reconstructed for capacity improvement, but not the actual main line itself, not from like two lanes to four lanes, but the intersections, yes. So it's, you know, there's a lot of backup documentation supporting what we're doing tonight, and just as an interim measure until the reconstruction is warranted.
Oh. Nothing else? Can we have a motion to, what is this? It's just an ordinance to leave the existing four-way stops.
Correct.
Are we doing these separately or separately?
Yes, separately.
So I'll make motion for letter A here to continue with the four-way stop on the intersection of County H and Main Station.
Second. Second by Supervisor Frederick. Any further discussion? You the governance?
Aye.
Ready?
Aye.
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 All right, then we'll move on to C and Main Station Road.
A similar situation with this intersection. We have the same warrant analysis that's required for the multi-way stop signs to be installed. We went through the different warrants, and the one that stood out has to do with basically the geometry of the intersection. If you have the diagram that was in your packet, you can see the intersection is rather dramatically skewed. The skewing of an intersection does affect its operation and its safety because it limits the view that vehicles stopped on the side road have of oncoming traffic. In this case, the intersection angle, the existing intersection angle, is 44 degrees, and the design standards for an intersection require it to be no less than 70 degrees. So it's far, far beyond design standards for an intersection. Historically, we've not had a great crash problem there that might be would be associated with an intersection like this. But things have changed from a traffic system flow standpoint in that area. Bain Station Road traffic volumes have increased fairly dramatically recently, and the bottom line is it doesn't meet standards, and from an engineering standpoint and from a liability standpoint, it's not in the county's best interest to have an intersection that's substandard. And one of the solutions to that, again, most likely on an interim basis until at some point in the future when it would be reconstructed, would be the installation of the four-way stops. This intersection was also included in the resolution we received from the village board. The village supports the permanent installation of the four-way stops, and in the survey, 77.7% of the total respondents felt that the multi-way stop sign should stay in place. So again, on this intersection, we have the village board support, public support, and the warrant met for the permanent installation of the multi-way stop signs, which is what I also would be recommending by approving an ordinance tonight.
Any questions on this one?
Yes.
No, I was going to say, I take this route probably once a month, and I will hardly agree that, because when I'm trying to, I have to stop the stop sign and try to look around and see, you know, if there's anything coming. So I agree completely with what you're trying to do.
Not do we have a motion on this one?
Motion approved.
Supervisor Federer. Seconded.
Second
by Supervisor Poole. Any further discussion? To the governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
That carries. Now we have one more request on one of our temporaries that we don't have a ordinance here for, but Gary, let's wait.
Yeah, the last intersection that we installed the temporary four-way stops was at Highway C and 104th Avenue. And that intersection, we did our warrant analysis. We ran through, it's the same on all these. There's 9 different warrants that we look at from an engineering standpoint. This intersection did not meet any of the warrants. In fact, it wasn't even close to meeting any of the warrants. couple of issues there is that the traffic volumes on Highway C are so much greater than the traffic volumes on 104th Avenue that none of the volume warrants, which are a predominant warrant in the study, were even close to being met. One of the other warrants is a crash problem. Typically involves an average of 5 crashes within a 12-month period. This intersection actually had 5 crashes in a 60-month period, which is basically 1 crash per year. So, did not, you know, even come close to that warrant. So they're really based on the engineering study, there's just no justification to keep the four-way stops at that intersection. In the Village Board resolution, they recommended that the four-way stops stay in place, and the public's response, 58.8% felt that they should stay in place. So, interestingly, the public support far less than the other two intersections, and although still the majority did feel that they should stay in place. I guess I need to recommend what we found in the results of the study. I cannot recommend the multi-way stops stay in place without some justification based on an engineering study. My recommendation is that the intersection revert back to its previous condition, which was stop signs on 104th Avenue and no stop condition on Highway C.
So we need no action on this at all. This was part of our original plan last year. These were temporary. That's why I just had the two.
Yeah, the only action would be as if you just adamantly opposed to what my results are, and I could come back with an ordinance in the future. But I, again, without any warrants or justification, I just have to advise or recommend that it revert back to its previous condition.
No, I was going to say, because only was there maybe 10, 15 homes south of 104th Street south of there?
It's
not that many people that are going to be going across 104th to get to, you know, down River Road.
Right. And correct. Absolutely. And we do, you know, keep an eye on this intersection, all of our intersections, particularly from a crash standpoint, and if for some reason we see some operational problems in the future or a crash problem in the future, certainly we can take additional action later. But at this point, it's not even close.
Question?
Yes.
Right. 104th, just north of C. Isn't there where that little post office is?
Yes.
Right in there. That's a very lightly traveled. And then the linear distance between 104th and County C and Main Station, linearly, how long are you?
It's about 2,000 feet, maybe.
So I think it's an impediment. I don't see where that really
is. Yeah, that's why it doesn't meet any water.
Yeah, it's an impediment. You're stopping, you know, if you're, well, whatever distance you're going on here, yeah, I agree.
just a follow-up on asphalt paver. You know, we talked about it the last meeting, and we're making some progress on that. It looks like we will most definitely, or I know we will most definitely be able to purchase that paver within the parameters that the committee set at the last meeting. So hopefully at the next meeting, I'll have the news that we have a paver on the way. So, I think that was all. This was, anything else?
So Mr. Rudy is out of town. The first thing here I can do, I mean, that's, we do it every year. I don't know if Earl was familiar with it, but we're the conduit for the money from the state to care for the snowmobile trails. Snowmobile trails are taken care of by the snowmobile clubs. And the money comes from their registration and fees. So I believe we have, I can't remember the amount, it's a check for like $19,000 or something like that every year. And so we receive it, give it to the snowmobile clubs for there. So that's what the first one is. Any questions on that one? Moved by Supervisor Frederick.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Gray for approval. Any questions or discussion? Give the governance.
Aye.
Committee.
Aye.
Now everybody received their packet, so you read the discussion and the information on the CCC camp. It would be a plaque. I know I've been at many of the county parks that were CCC camps up north, and they usually have something. Fox River Park was one, and that's what John is asking for. He's got a chance to apply and receive this grant, and this would give him permission to apply and receive the funds. That's many times how we do a resolution, where there's approval for a grant. Any questions on that? If not, I would need a motion to allow John, as Director of Parks, to apply, receive, and disperse funds for that grant.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor. There's only two of you to do it.
Second.
Any further discussion? Give the governance.
Aye.
Committee.
Aye.
Do we have one of them?
Yeah, that's the right one.
So the next thing John had was the rate change to the dog park fees, and what happened here, I don't know if ever anybody heard the, reasoning behind it, but we had a disabled out of county person. We had a rate fee for a disabled out of county. And so it raised a little confusion and a question. So John wanted to clarify that, so all we're doing here is putting a rate for an out of county disabled for the dog park. And I think everybody had those fees in front of them. Nothing else has changed. Any discussion on that one?
Motion to approve.
Second by Supervisor Grady to approve. Second by Supervisor Frederick. Any discussion? Do the governance?
Aye.
Ready?
Aye.
Now, the director's report, I don't know if you've got anything else.
It was really what was mailed out to the committee. I won't, unless somebody's got a specific question, I can try to answer. But John usually does a pretty thorough job. He gives an update on youth ice fishing derby and a number of other things that are in play right now. So if anybody's got any questions, I'll attempt to get you an answer. Yeah.
And we already reported and everybody saw or heard about the fishing derby. And that included some pictures and a picture of that plaque.
I got an invite for a event in later on this year, that relieves something for military personnel pads. Is that something that's normal, or if that's the first I heard of it? I got a Facebook invitation.
For?
It was something like a badge or something being dedicated to a military individual up there.
Well, that could be. There could be an Eagle project or something like that. Okay. Where an Eagle Scout, there's many benches actually have been created and built and installed in many of the parks by Eagle Scouts, and a lot of them are in remembrance of military folks. So it could be an Eagle Scout project, okay. Or it could be something that was just a family member who wanted it in remembrance of a military person as well.
Okay. It was just when I was surprised when I got it. I was going to ask John.
Yeah, it'll typically say, if you go to any of the parks, there's usually a little plaque or something that'll indicate what the background is and why that bench is there.
You can do it at all of our parks. You have to actually have our permission. And say if it's a tree, we have to get permission for the variety. But even if you go out to the new Katy Park, you'll find a couple benches of trees out there already. Memorials. Do we have a resolution for the rate change? Decide? No.
I know.
Okay. Well, we can do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so we can move on to golf.
Good deal. We're finalizing our business plan. The proposed 2015 rates will be discussed shortly. Really happy to announce that we're doing email blasts, not so much weekly now, but during the season, and we're doing some email blasts for outing promotion to over 16,000 people right now in our email database, so that's really good. We have golf shows coming up. We're going to Chicago to promote the resorts February 27th through March 1st, and we're going to Milwaukee March 13th through the 15th. We're making plans, hopefully, if the weather cooperates, if we're going to be open the 13th through the 15th, what our contingency plans are. So we'll see how that's working out. And, you know, it really does help getting our name out there by going to both of those golf shows. And we get a lot of positive reinforcement that we're doing the right thing and how much people really enjoy our facilities. Our websites, we're working that, reworking our websites, making sure that they're search engine optimized, that they're very readable, that they have a lot of information, a lot of data collection points. So we're working to get our websites to be as user-friendly and collect as much information as possible for us. We're working on booking our leagues. Actually, this week we've just signed two new leagues for Brightondale this last 2 week period, and we've signed. I think we've made room at Pets for one new league actually from Case. We're gonna have 28. We got NSYNC Raider coming, and there's one that really is not affiliated with a company. It's just a bunch of guys that want to get together that are gonna be playing at Brightondale. So we got three new ones, I believe, and we're working on one other one. Plus, we're working on an 18-hole league. So you know, the bookings seem to be going well so far at this time of year. So do want to report that we had our Caddy and Leadership Academy meeting last Friday, or two Fridays ago, and we are going to be having the Caddy program at Petrifying Springs. We're going to be working with youth from the Boys and Girls Club. We have a lot of prominent members of our community that are involved with this. We're going to have a training date. Marcus Gallo, who is a teacher and he's going to be the new golf coach at Prepper. He's going to be our caddy master there. He's going to be there all the while that the youth are on property. We're going to try and get all the youth like 3 to 4 loops a week, and they're going to be on property like 4 to 5 days a week. It'll be like from the middle of June to the middle of August. The youth will be paid by the Southeast Wisconsin Caddy and Leadership Academy. And they'll be collecting $30 per 18-hole round or $15 per 9-hole round. And then if the patron that has used them, if the guest that used them feels that they did a good job, they can tip them if they want to. It's not required. But our main goal is, you know, to get the youth out to find out the, you know, positive attributes of golf, to meet the community members that are golfing at Petrifying Springs, to learn from the different players, you know, what golf is all about, the respect of the game, the challenge of the game, you know, the sense of self-worth for these youth. There is one academy like this so far in the country, and that's in Denver. Right now, we're going to be the first public facility that'll have this academy at it, and there's a future goal to maybe expand like three courses a year to grow this type of academy, you know. So I think it's really going to be a positive thing. I think Petrifying Springs might get a lot of positive recognition because of the being the first public facility to do this. So I'm really excited about having this at our operations. So, you know, right now, again, we're just restocking the golf shop, tuning up the equipment, freshening up the clubhouse. We're getting ready for the 2015 season project that we'll be working on. We're going to be working on the deep well at Brightondale Links. That probably will be a fall project. We do have some irrigation money in the budget, and but we don't want to pull that when we possibly could need it, so we might wait on that. But we are going to be redoing some of the pump house at Petrifying Springs. We're going to be doing the variable drives there that operate the pumps, so that'll be done this spring. We're getting quotes on that right now. We're going to be paving the maintenance road in the shop yard at Pets as soon as the weather cooperates, which is direly needed, and will be very welcomed. We're purchasing 4 new utility vehicles and I believe 78 fleet cars. Right now we're out getting the pricing on that, and we'll be evaluating that. And then we're updating some of the equipment for the sewage treatment plants, and then we have the food and beverage RFP out, and we're getting a few responses on that. So we're actually going to be doing some tours of the facility on that. So that's my report as far as the rates go. We've added one new thing on the rates. If you purchase any of our season passes, we're offering a golf cart pass for $600, which is a shared pass, so you can share a cart with, you know, whoever you're golfing with at any time that you play for $600 throughout the course of the season. This was a request from some of our guests, and we think it's a fair value, and so we are bringing out that with your blessings.
Otherwise, we have no rates changed.
Correct.
At all. On the RFP thing now, you said you've already got some responses.
Jim, do you have a more update? I know that...
Peterson? I talked to him.
Sullivan.
Sullivan. Yeah, I talked to him. That's the only one I've heard of so far. I went out last week?
Yeah.
Friday. Yeah. Just 2 days ago.
Any questions on the golf rates or anything from that?
How do we compare, because we just have ours, how do we compare with the other golf courses in this area?
Well, we're not quite as high as some of them, you know. I mean, that, it all depends on, you know, what golf courses that you're talking about. I mean, if you go to the west of us, we're a lot lower, a lot more value packed than, you know, all the Hawksview, Grand Geneva, Geneva National, all that to the west. Around here, you know, their rack rates are pretty much close to ours, but a little bit more than what ours is. Like Maple Crest is like $54. You know, it depends on all The passes at Bristol Oaks for their unlimited pass, like our gold pass, is like $1,700 or $1,500. It's a lot of the times what people are actually purchasing for, though, you know, the discounted rates, the coupons.
I remember what we did a few years ago is we tried to do a spreadsheet to try to make it apples to apples, and it's really, it almost gets too complicated trying to do that, but we did do something like that a few years ago that at least gave it kind of a range, and it was the rates that were available, I think, on the websites typically,
right,
which weren't always the most current, but it was the best. But it was kind of hard to try to make it apples to apples. But it gave you some kind of little reference.
As long as we're checking on that, that's what's, you know, that's what I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we check it for a hayfield type golf course. Naturally, we're higher, but we're not a hayfield golf course. As Ed said, when you get into Grand Geneva and Hawksview and those things, we're lower, and Hawksview we're on par with. As far as quality, and golfers will tell you that. So I mean, we're a real value there to a person that wants a quality golf. We're naturally going to be higher than, you know, Spring Valley or something like that. That's like Kohl's and Dollar Value Store. You know,
like Grand Geneva is like about 150. Hawksview is like 85. Geneva National is like 125. You know, Maple Crest is like 54. Jim did bring out the rates for
Bristol. A couple years ago, Dan and I, we talked over 30 golf courses around here. We made this list, and we were about in the middle. Some are more expensive and some, but we were not like very the lowest. We were not the lowest, but we definitely weren't the highest. Very competitive.
I'm just going to have to realize, and the staff has been working on this diligently and possibly to a detriment to them, trying to give us the quality that we're giving to golfers. When you look at the same race for 5 years, we are pushing into a problem. And we're trying to make everybody happy, and we're trying to make the county board happy by saying we're not raising rates. But eventually, we have to raise some rates, you know, and everybody's going to have to realize that you can't, no matter what type of business you're going to run, 5 years flat like this. Had pushed before and we've done it, but we're able to do it because of the way they're operating our golf courses now at such an efficient rate. But sooner or later, there's going to have to be some changes made. We got a problem.
And when we do make the changes, I mean, you know, it's the law of retailing. I mean, your fives and your nines are the numbers, so it's not like we can go up a dollar. You know, it's we're going to have to bust down the door. I mean, we're at $49 to go. To 51 doesn't make any sense to me, you know. I mean, you're going to have to go to 55 or something like that. You're going to have to take the law of retailing. It says fives and nines are what sells, you know. I mean, it's not that we're going to be able to go, you know, $2 and to 51 or $52. That just doesn't make any sense in retail. It's $55 or $59, you know. I mean, not saying that, you know, we're going to push it, you know, that high to 59, but it, you know, you have to make it make sense to your retailers when you say what is your rate. It's, you know, $49 right now, or just under that threshold of $50, and it sounds right, but if we go, we're gonna have to, you know, it doesn't make sense to say, well, we're at $51. Well, that in the laws of retailing, at least in my mind,
I think as efficiently as they've been running the last 3 years, we're okay, but I just wanted to bring that up. We can't do that forever.
Talk about carts a little bit. We're going to get some new carts because we're getting to the point where some of them are aging. What happens on that? We actually sell them back to the vendor, or how does it work?
Yep. Yeah, we're currently, the numbers work out to be about, we're paying $1,700 for a new fleet car.
Okay.
And about $5,100 for a utility vehicle. So it's a trade-in value and the cost of the
new car. As those decline, do we depreciate the investment? Do we take that money off the books as a depreciating asset as these go through the service line?
Depreciation is different in government accounting than it is, because we buy them flat out.
Right,
they don't pay for the depreciation expense as part of the golf budget.
And the $600 fee is new for the car pass that can be used throughout the season, anytime, weekday, weekend?
Well, it can be used when your pass is valid. So, like, your senior pass is good before 3:30 weekdays and after 1 o'clock weekends, and that's when your car pass will be good for. But the adult pass is good anytime, so yes, they can use it anytime.
Well, I just want to back up on the Caddy and Leadership Academy situation. You were saying that this is going to be the first public use of the Caddy system in the state or nationwide?
There's one facility in Denver that's owned by the Colorado PGA, and it's a golf course that's just to promote, you know, golf in that area. But this is the first public facility in the nation.
Well, that's quite a feather in the cap. I mean, that's noteworthy that here in Ocean County, we got something which is a pioneering type. Good, Dana. I thought I had one other question, but I didn't bring it up so anyone else has. So,
do you want to pull?
Yes, I too wanted to congratulate you on this Caddy program, because I talked to Phil Poletti last fall about this, and he was really excited about it. It sounded like it's a great deal for us.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's quite a visionary. He's the one kind of pushing and driving. You know, we're all on the board, and we got a good board for that program. And yeah, it's definitely exciting. You know, I think it'll bring us some good publicity.
Great. Anything else for that? If not, we'll move on to adjournment. We'll approve the rates.
I don't think we have a resolution for it.
No, we'll, it doesn't go to county board at all. So we have a motion to approve the rates as presented. Moved by Supervisor Frederick. Seconded by Supervisor.
Yes.
Okay. You're the governor. Ready?
Aye.
I don't think we have anything else.
So moved.
Second. Moved to second. All of the doors die.
Okay.